It's an urgent hour. The harvest is ripe, and we've got a plan to get more workers out on the harvest field.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, I've got some really exciting news today, and I have a dear friend, co-worker, colleague in the studio with me. We have radically revamped our program at Fire School of Ministry because we recognize the urgency of the hour, we recognize how ripe the harvest is, and we are committed to raising up and sending out more laborers throughout America and around the world. Even if you are not called to leave your current profession or what you're doing educationally and come and train with us, your hearts will be stirred today. But please be listening carefully because perhaps you have a family member, a friend, a colleague, and you think, wow, they need to hear today's broadcast. If you have a question that relates to our talk today, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We're not just taking random questions, theology, Bible, culture, etc. But if you have a question specifically that ties in with our subject matter today, the phones will be open. I'm sitting here in studio with Keith Collins. Keith and I have known each other since when?
1996 is when we first met.
All right, 1996 we first met. What's funny is you probably look just about exactly the same now as you did then. But Keith, you came to Pensacola, the midst of the Brownsville Revival, and became a student in the School of Ministry. You had pastored, you had been in ministry already, but you became a student and then were trained and have worked together with us ever since. But what brought you to Brownsville in 1996, and what did God do in your own life?
Well, prior to Brownsville, like you said, I had been in ministry for several years, 12 years actually, had already pastored and done some itinerant ministry, and began to hear about the Brownsville Revival from some different friends, and was invited by a Baptist pastor to attend with him. So this was in 1996. So I was a little bit, you know, interested, of course, and hadn't really followed it too much. But upon arriving there, the first time that I was there, I was actually shocked. Number one, the level of gospel preaching, but primarily the weight of God's glory was so intense. And even in my own life, even though there was no blatant sin or habitual sin in my life, just the conviction of God that led me to a deeper place of hunger for Him, of a burden to see the lost saved, with a passion to get on the field more aggressively to preach the gospel and to advance the kingdom of God. I mean, it was very, very overwhelming, and it was a marker season in my life, and I've never been the same.
Now, you were radically saved years before that. What did God bring you out of when you got saved?
When I got saved, I'd been doing drugs for several years. Actually, my biological father introduced me to narcotics at the age of 8, which is crazy but true, and he fell dead very early at age 51, primarily because of drug abuse in his life, and that really opened a Pandora's box of addiction, sin, perversion. So I'd been very involved with sexual activity as well as drugs, alcohol, partying lifestyle. And by the time I was a 15-year-old kid, kind of like you, I'd gone way far into drugs, and I was the kind of guy, I would try anything, any type of drug to get a different high. So at that stage in my life, I was really needing something daily, as far as a fix or a high. And I had this, I wasn't at the bottom of the barrel, you know, wanting to get saved. I was actually enjoying the pleasure of sin in a season, as Scripture tells us.
Yeah.
But I had a radical encounter with Jesus, and that literally lasted over 3 hours. And, I mean, His love, His fire, I literally had a vision of the cross that night. I mean, I was so radically impacted by Him that my life was radically changed.
So you had a radical deep conversion experience. So you're on fire, you're serving the Lord, you've been in ministry, you come to Pensacola as a committed believer and have another intense encounter with the Lord that deepens your love for Him, deepens your heart for holiness, deepens your heart for the lost. And then you come to our ministry school, Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. What happened to you then?
Well, the first time I heard you mention the school was in 96. And I remember being a Saturday session where you were sharing and then immediately got some of your books at the time. I remember thinking to myself, man, this guy is like writing and saying everything that I feel in my heart that at the time I just didn't really have words to convey. I had been exposed some to Ravenhill, Leonard Ravenhill, and different leaders like that through, you know, literature and stuff. But when I heard you first speak, I mean, my wife and I both were just so gripped. And then when I heard you speaking to the school, I knew, I told Darla, I said, I have to go to the school. And she's like, we have three little girls. I mean, I'd already been in ministry. How are we going to live? I didn't have any real savings or anything. We'd pastored a very small church in the country and stuff. But I knew I had to go there. So I was so honored to be one of the pioneer students in the school. There's 120 of us, as you know,
yep,
that registered that first semester. And all I can tell you is this, the experience was so deep, was so real, was so profound. The level of teaching from yourself, Bob Gladstone, I mean, it was very supernatural. And I know that God used it really to set really the course for the rest of my life. And I still glean from that season. You know, there were times when the presence of God, the weight of God was so strong in our classes, in your prayer and intercession class and Bob Gladstone's Old Testament class. I mean, it was those seasons in my life, even in the challenges that I've been through since then, I look back at those times and those are moorings, they're foundations in my life. So God used it in a profound way.
So now you graduate, end up joining our team, become part of our ministry team, and have served in various capacities. You led our congregation for a good number of years.
Yes.
Your main focus now is our School of Ministry and then traveling out around America and to the nations and working with our international schools.
Yes.
So you're getting to see the people that were trained side by side with you or in the subsequent years in our School of Ministry in Pensacola before we moved to North Carolina. You're seeing them out in the field. You got back from the Philippines a little while ago, just got back from Italy. And in both of those nations, we have schools of ministry. And people say, what's the lasting fruit? I mean, there's a missions movement that came out of that many churches planted, out of that now full-time ministry schools planted. So in the Philippines, our grads have now raised up churches, planted congregations, doing work in all different ways, rescuing people from human trafficking, even little children, adopting orphans, caring for the poor. But also they've raised up a full-time ministry school, and they're now sending out grads to the nations.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, when I was there recently, it's like literally you are ministering to your spiritual grandchildren.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's really, it's hard to explain that feeling unless you've had that feeling. But to see the quality of the fruit. I mean, these are not, even the leaders that are there, the folks leading the school and the different folks that are reaching kids and human sex trafficking. I mean, quality, deep work. I mean, it's so rewarding. And some of our grads, I mean, they're going to Thailand, Cambodia. I mean, these are folks that are really willing to lay their lives down for the gospel. And the quality of the fruit, to me, is really the lasting result of what God did even in Brownsville. You know, people
yes.
can say what they want to say about it, but the lasting fruit is lives are being touched, the gospel is being preached, souls are being saved, and disciples are being made on an incessant basis. So it's a powerful thing to see, and it's really so rewarding to be a part of this at this stage in my life.
Yeah, it is incredible. When I was talking to students in our ministry school, I think this semester before last, or say about 18 months ago, when new students were coming in, and I asked them, how did you hear about the School of Ministry? A couple of them said, well, you prayed for me when I was in my mother's womb.
Wow.
They had come to meetings in Pensacola that prayed for the parents, and now the kids were coming to the school, or my father was in your school, those kinds of things. So it is like spiritual grandchildren, that next
yes.
generation. But as we are living today in an urgent hour, I mean, you don't have to be someone with great spiritual insight to see that America is shaking all the time, that the church is being purged, that there are open doors all around the world, God doing amazing things. We've been burdened to raise up and send out more laborers. So we have, since 1996, as a team, been raising up, sending out laborers around the world, all over America. And by God's grace, we continue to do that. This past Sunday marked the sixth anniversary of one of our grads who was martyred by Al-Qaeda terrorists serving in the Muslim world. We can't even disclose the location. Right. And the rest of the team went right back to the Muslim world after that. Three other couples went right back. This is what we're seeing. But we felt, okay, we've got to up our game in light of what's happening in the world around us. So for the first time ever, we have completely revamped our program at Fire School of Ministry. I serve as the president. Keith serves as the director. So friends, to find out more, go to fire-school, fire-school.org to find out more. What we've done now is this, and you know it, but I'm just sharing it with everyone listening and watching. Okay. We have now revamped things, so you come for one intensive year. Instead of a three-year program, as we currently have, you come for one intensive year of training, so 9 months physically with us, all right? People then immersed in prayer, in the Word, in character building, in practical ministry, with three different tracks, evangelism missions, pastor-teacher, worship intercession. We're going to have, along with our faculty, key guest speakers coming in, immersing people for intensive weeks. After that, you go immediately, instead of having to wait till the third year, you go immediately into an internship program. So the second year, you are now out on the field. If you have a burden to do mass evangelism, we will send you to Africa, literally, where you'll be trained and mentored by people who do this. You'll be in a mentoring situation, an intern situation, supplementing that with online classes with Fire School of Ministry. After 2 years, you get an associate's degree, associate for practical theology, but that's not the big thing. The big thing is we're telling folks, hey, maybe you're 40 years old, you've got some ministry experience. Maybe you're 28 years old, married with kids, you've already graduated college, you're ready for the next step. In other words, it's not just come out of high school, come here. We're encouraging folks to come who have more background, more training, but can't wait 3 years before they get out or 4 years or 6 years in a traditional seminary. Come and get immersed with us for 9 months and then go immediately into an internship. Keith, what are you sensing in your heart God's going to do as we make this major change coming this August?
I really believe that the Lord's going to begin to send us people that are, like you said, already in a situation in their lives to where they know this is the season that they have to get equipped and they have to be launched. When I came to Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, I was 28 years old.
And you had already been pastoring.
Yeah, and I'd already had some biblical training as well. So,
all right, we are just getting started, friends. What's God saying to you? What's going on in your heart? What about friends, loved ones? This could be the very thing you've been waiting for. Fire-school.org. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me say it again. It's an urgent hour. The harvest is ripe. W.E. Sangster, a Methodist preacher, once asked, "How shall I feel at the judgment if multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full review, and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride?" Brother Andrew said there are no closed doors to the gospel, provided that once you get through, you don't care about coming back. He said, our Lord said, go. He didn't say, come back. Brother Andrew also said, it's easier to cool down a fanatic than to warm up a corpse. I'm sitting in studio today with my friend and colleague, director of Fire School of Ministry, Keith Collins. You say, how come he's not on camera with you? Well, we are set up in our studio for one guest, video, and multiple guests, audio, as we continue to improve our studio. As you help us with your donations, we will have our in-studio guests on camera as well. But Keith will put up a still shot of you. And it could be still for decades because your appearance doesn't seem to change. You don't seem
Thank you. Age.
But you have been through enough challenges, hardships. It's amazing sometimes just to see you and your wife and family going strong. So we're talking about God working in people's lives where the foundations are deep enough that you can go through anything.
Amen. Yeah, and I think the calling that we feel like we have here at Fire School is to really help people get those foundations Deep intimacy with the Lord, a true love for the Bible. We're all about biblical foundations, but also really experiencing a spirit-filled environment that really evokes a hunger to do something for God. But I can say in my own life that really the foundations I received, even at the school when I was a student, have been, you know, so important, even as we've gone through, you know, family sickness with a grandchild having a terminal condition and things like that, that I've been able to tap deep into those wells that were really given to me through my experience at the Brownsville School of Ministry. So it was, you know, again, so life-changing. And I really believe God's called us to really implant those foundations into leaders. And again, not just young people, but even those that are in ministry, that this is like a cadet school. This is a place where you enter like...
Or maybe Navy SEAL.
Navy SEAL, there you go.
Yeah.
That's maybe better. But just a place where the Lord's really called us to raise up generals, to raise up, you know, men and women of God that will be launched into leadership roles around the world to do the works of Jesus in this generation despite the challenges they face.
And, you know, we have amazing leaders serving all around the world now.
Yes.
And those that are called to missions will be able to intern under some of these very people. And then our friend Daniel Kalenda, who took over Reinhard Bonnke's ministry and is literally winning millions of Africans to the Lord, they are prepared to train evangelists to do the same kind of work in Africa. So come to be with us for an intensive 9 months and then go and intern with some of their evangelists in Africa. And then, of course, there are those of us that are leaders right here. If someone really felt called to be on the front lines of cultural apologetics, they can come for the intensive 9 months. They can intern under me.
Yes.
There are folks that could intern under you potentially with traveling ministry. There are all kinds of amazing options. People just have to go for it.
Yes.
Bottom line, I just saw a comment on our YouTube feed that said, you know, it's frustrating to see how small the harvest is in America. Do I agree? Yeah, but how many churches really have a burden for the lost?
Right.
When have you seen a tear shed for the lost? How much preaching have you heard on coming judgment? How much urgency do we have to go out and bring the gospel? How much evangelizing are we actually doing?
Yes.
And that's one of our great burdens, is to raise up evangelists.
Yes, that's one of the primary things that we feel like God has called us to do, evangelists for America as well as evangelists around the nations of the world. And let me just say this. You know, I'm blessed to teach in different type of institutions and stuff and have been for years, but I really don't know of another place like this. Not that we're elite. There's a lot of great schools out there.
We each have a specialty.
We have a specialty, but even with the quality and the tenure of the leaders that are pouring into students, not just our full-time faculty, but even those that will be coming in, you know, whether it be Dan Kalender or someone, to really pour into these people and to really impart something in them that will quickly and radically equip them to be evangelists, to be pastors, to be missionaries, to be worship leaders, you know, to really embrace a heart for intercession, for the lost, for a dying world. So these are core values that we believe in and, you know, areas that we refuse to compromise in. We know that God has called us to really equip and raise up people that will, as Leonard Ravenhill said, burn until they die, and then they'll really start living.
Yeah, and George Whitfield said, I'd rather burn out than rust out.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was D.L. Moody who said, for everyone that dies of overwork, 10,000 die of idleness, or
that's
something
right.
like that. And uniquely, again, we have a specific calling. It's not that we're better than anyone, but
right.
we have a specific calling. So the same way I teach at different seminaries, you've earned degrees. What's your most recent accomplishment academically?
I finished my master's at the King's.
King's University.
Yes, King's University.
Right,
yes.
So we're all
working towards a doctorate right now.
Yeah, so we're all for serious study.
Yes.
We have a number of PhDs on the faculty. We get into the Hebrew and the Greek as well as anybody. But our focus is to have solid academics together with intimacy with God, together with a heart for the Spirit, together with a heart for the lost and burning bright. That's what we live for. And you mentioned some of the challenges that you've lived through. So you've got one of your daughters has a child. You said terminally ill grandchild.
Right.
All right. He should have died in the womb.
Yes.
Almost died in the womb. There was constant bed rest, and just for him to even come to birth, you knew there could be dire consequences once he was born. How old is Jude now?
He will be 4 in 2 weeks.
4? That's unreal. How long was it anticipated that he would live?
Well, they told us he would not live for more than 2 weeks out of the womb.
Right.
They sent him home on morphine. We refused to give him that. We just began to pray over him, began to pray worship music in his room, and we had intercessors, you know, around the world literally praying for him. And at this juncture, he's almost 4.
So, almost 4. That's extraordinary.
And he actually said his first very real word this last week.
Are you serious?
So they said he'd never talk, but, I mean, we even videoed it, and he said it several times. I mean, it's just, hey, but we're saying hey, and he's saying it back to us.
Are you serious?
Yes, it's the first.
Oh, come on.
It's the first word that he's ever really officially spoken.
That's amazing.
So to us, you know, I know that's not a big deal to a lot of people, but to us, that's a huge milestone for him.
Oh, that's massive.
Yeah, so.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he sure did.
Incredible. Yeah. And if you just had to take the roughest guesstimate, how many times has he been in the hospital either for treatment or for tests or emergency or in these 4 years?
At least 25 to 30 times, right. And usually for extended stays.
Exactly. And what you're saying is the foundations that you got, encountering God in the midst of revival, being trained, being equipped deeply in the Word with people who are willing to give their lives for the gospel, that has been part of the character built into you and your family that's enabled you not just to endure this, but to endure it without marital breakups,
yes.
To endure it without backsliding. There's grace and a lot of people praying. We're grateful. We give all glory to the Lord. But we're talking about training for life. We're not just talking about come here and get all excited and go, ooh, the Holy Ghost feelings or just get so super intellectual we know everything. We're talking about training for the real hard core lessons of life.
Yeah, and again, when I was in Italy last week, I literally taught like 26 hours to our students over there, which was such an honor. But the Lord really had me spend several hours really dealing with what it really means to find your contentment and your peace in the Lord, not based on feeling, not based on circumstances. Paul said these light momentary afflictions or these challenges are nothing compared to what awaits me, compared to glory. And even Paul was fixated on the love of Jesus towards him. It fueled him. That level of intimacy, no matter what he went through, he sustained a joy. He sustained fulfillment. And I really believe, I know that's real in my life. As hard as things are, I think I even told you a couple of years ago when I was with you on the radio that the Lord has even used Jude to give me a greater picture of the kingdom of God and to show my ultimate dependency on the Lord. The whole Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This little guy is dependent upon us for everything. So it's like God will use even these challenges that we don't blame God for, but he'll use those to bring us deeper into intimacy, and eternity becomes more real, and the price to pay becomes an honor and a privilege, and you realize, like Paul, we've been bought with a price. So we have the joy of the Lord, we enjoy life, we love life, but there's also a level of sobriety and a reality of eternity that burns within us, and we know, like Paul said in Philippians, by life or by death, either or, Jesus will be glorified. And listen, that is what the church needs in America. That's what the church needs around the world. And the harvest fields of the world need people that are owned by this eternal call and that refuse to compromise, to flinch, that refuse to backslide, that are so in love with Jesus that that becomes their motivating source. And even in the hard times, we can sing the old hymn, "It is well with my soul."
Yeah.
And I can say, with all honesty, with all the challenges that we've seen in our lives, it is well with my soul.
Mm.
So,
praise God. Friends, our next semester starts in August of 2018. That's less than 5 months, or just about 5 months from here. We start with an intensive immersion, everyone coming together for a few days, the returning students, the new students coming in to meet together with God, and then we are launching for the first time ever our intensive 9-month training program, and then immediately the next year, you go into a 9-month internship. Go to fire-school.org to find out more. I'll say it again. The hour is urgent. The harvest is ripe. Is God calling you? This is only for leaders. This is a school for leaders and leaders in the making. Is it time for you to step out and give your life for the gospel? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Did you ever hear the phrase, Dr. Livingston, I presume? You know where it comes from? Henry Stanley had been a mercenary. He fought on both sides of the Civil War for money. He became a journalist, and he went to Africa looking for David Livingston. No one had heard from him for a long period of time. People didn't know if the famous Scottish explorer and missionary to Africa was still alive. And Henry Stanley locates him, and those were the opening words. I mean, obviously, this white guy over there in Africa, this must have been him, Dr. Livingston, I presume. So Stanley spends, I believe it was 4 months and 4 days, something like that, with Livingston. And he just watched him, watched his life, watched the sacrifice he had made to reach these people in Africa that had never heard the gospel. And as a result of that, Stanley himself was transformed and ended up going back to Africa to take over Livingston's work after his death. And the question is, does his life make sense in the light of eternity? David Livingston, Henry Stanley, yes. Well, what about our lives? Do our lives make sense in the light of eternity? If the Bible is really true, if it is, if heaven and hell are real, and they are, if Jesus really died for our sins, rose from the dead, and purchased us with his blood, which he did, do our lives make sense in the light of eternity? When we stand before God, we will be able to say, yeah, the decisions I made, the lifestyle I lived, it makes sense in the light of eternity. Or will we say, man, I got so caught up with earthly things. I was more concerned with what people were saying. I just had to have this career, or had to live in this neighborhood, or had to do this, or had to be this. I got wasted hundreds, thousands of hours with worthless sports and entertainment. I could have been winning the lost. I could have been praying. Is that what you're going to say? Well, don't wait until then to make the change. Today is the day for radical change. Hey, friends, you are listening to, watching The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Thanks for being part of the broadcast today. We've got some very exciting news for you regarding Fire School of Ministry. This is our full-time training school, birthed originally as Brownsboro Revival School of Ministry at the beginning of 1997. Our team has been together over 20 years now. We have been Fire School of Ministry since 2001, but our team together over 20 years, raising up, sending out laborers for the harvest. And last year, we became convinced that after all these years together, with the urgency of the hour, with the harvest being as ripe as it is, that we needed to make some radical changes in our program. So I'm sitting here together with Keith Collins, who has been with us since 1996. And Keith is the director of our School of Ministry and is actively working with our schools all around the world. Keith, as you travel out, you also preach all over the states. You're very busy with that. You'll take out teams of students with you. What are you seeing God doing? And where is your heart today as far as the urgency of the hour?
We've always seen the Lord move on, you know, on good levels. However, really the last 2 years, especially the last year and a half, everywhere I go, I encounter an unusual supernatural hunger. In no way am I saying that we are in like revival like we've seen in past history. Mm-hmm. But I am saying that there is a level of hunger and holy desperation, as you've preached on many times, that is very God birthed, I would say. I was in Germany with about 15 of our students from here over the Christmas holiday, right after Christmas. We flew out the 27th, and we were in East, the old East part of East Germany, the old communist part of Germany. And we had students, we had young adults primarily from Germany, from Poland. We had several that were from Afghanistan. These are refugees mm-hmm. that were there. And I was shocked. I mean, I was shocked at the hunger. I'm talking about these young adults in this part of Europe, hours of weeping, crying out to God for revival, to change their nation, to change Europe. The same thing in Italy. I mean, just the hunger. Whenever we would quit class, nobody wanted to go. And God was breaking into our classes several times. Everywhere I preach, even here in the States, usually when I'm asked to come and preach, it's because this is what pastors literally tell me. I was in New Jersey recently, in Philadelphia recently. They told me, we just can't do church anymore. We are so hungry for God to do something in our city, in our church. So there is this sovereign thing that is taking place. At the same time, I know people have been praying and God responds to desperation.
Yeah.
But there really is something stirring. And literally everywhere I go, it's almost like the Holy Spirit is so active with regard to hunger, righteousness, the lost, real revival, a disdain for anything that's not genuine. I mean, this is really what I'm encountering, and the conversations I'm even having from leaders around the world are based on these themes that I'm talking about. So God is doing something sovereignly, as well as people are responding to what God is doing.
Do you ever see something where people are hypnotized and they're doing all these silly things, and then the hypnotist snaps his fingers,
and they come out of it.
Yeah, they come out of it, and everybody's looking at them laughing, and they have no idea what was happening.
Right.
It's almost like so many people in ministry, they've been going on with the show and doing church the way we do it and following the business plan and what's working and what's trending. And then one day you wake up, think, what were we doing?
Yes.
What were we doing? We're just going on with natural effort, natural show, and a superficial message that's not really changing people and touching the lost and making disciples. And they're saying, what is this? It's part of what happens with awakening, that God begins to open our eyes to what's real. That's why with revival comes deep repentance.
Yes.
Because you realize, man, I've been lukewarm, or I've been a man pleaser, I've just been living for self, or I've been justifying certain things. And then we come in the presence of a holy God, there's deep conviction, repentance. So we're sensing together a rising hunger. And we have an awesome school of ministry, a wonderful program, wonderful students. But what we've seen over the years is more and more have been coming in straight out of high school. So they're college age, which is tremendous. They're great young people. But it takes a number of years to get from there to where some of their goals and vision are, just like you can't become 30 without going through your 20s, right? So as we've been praying about this and working with other ministries, we became convinced that it was time to make a radical change in the program at our home base here, which is right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. So, friends, let me announce this to you if you haven't heard it yet. Starting in August, that is when our next semester begins, mid-August, we have revamped our three-year program. Here's what's going to happen now. You come with us for 9 intensive months. We're speaking to those of you, you've been in ministry before. Maybe you've gone through school. Maybe you're in graduate degrees, whatever. Maybe you've pastored for all. Maybe you've been on the field. Maybe you know it's time to make a change. You're married with kids. This is a school for leaders and leaders in the making. It's not a place to come for rehab or just to learn the Bible better. This is a leadership training institute. So you come for 9 intensive months with us. You sit under Keith Collins. You sit under me. You sit under our incredible faculty. You do practical ministry on the streets. You sit under tremendous guest speakers that will come in and once a month spend an intensive week pouring into you. And then immediately after that, next year, you go straight into a 9-month internship. So depending on your calling, evangelist, missionary, all right, those tracks, or pastor, teacher, those tracks, or worship, intercession, those tracks, depending on the calling in your life and your burden, you go straight into the 9-month internship while supplementing that. If you're still interning with us here, you'll take classes with us here. Otherwise, you'll take online classes. At the end of 2 years, you'll have an associate of practical theology. Great, but that's not the big thing. The big thing is that you will now be equipped and ready to take that next major step into ministry. So what we have done, we have deepened and intensified the program and made it more hands-on. And if you feel this is for you, and you can be 18 and called and still be part of the school, all right? But this is not just for young people. You can also be 40 and say, hey, I've been in ministry, but I need to get retooled, re-equipped, or I know it's time to take a step. I know it's time to go for it. This is for men. This is for women. Go to fire-school.org. Find out more. Fill out an application today, fire-school.org. And look at our new Leadership Training Institute. Keith, you and I live to make disciples, to pour into people and to see them sent out and produce good fruit. You were in the Philippines recently. We have a team there of about 50 people, men, women, and children. Tell me about what some of these grads, some of these spiritual sons and daughters are doing out in the field.
Yeah, it's incredible. We've got one of our grads that's directing our Fire School of Ministry there. And I remember being with him just, 4.5 years ago, just talking about the dream and the vision. And, you know, we really encouraged him to step out. We helped him. So we've got student doing that. We've got students over there that are literally rescuing kids out of human sex trafficking. And these kids have been, you know, abused in you know, indescribable ways, and they're restoring their lives. I was actually able, you know, Beth and Crystal, I was able to be with some of their girls in, that came to the meetings that I was preaching, and just to see the smile on their faces. They said when they first came that they were so violent and so scared that they wouldn't even talk to them. They were like,
They'd been chained.
Yes.
The people reported them being chained. And
yes.
So these are three sisters,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when they first came in, and these two gals, grads from our ministry school, single women over there now, that the kids were so violent, it's just they're trying to minister to them, and so full of demons, literally,
yes.
That our gals, their arms were getting
scratched.
All scratched. They're getting bitten.
They actually
had to have one of the other grads put extra wood reinforcements
That's
up
right.
around the windows. And now
amazing.
These kids are like the sweetest, most adorable girls.
Gentle as they can be, yeah.
Love the Lord.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, we've got other students that are feeding. And my own personal ministry is involved with this. We're literally feeding hundreds of kids a week, 5 days a week. It's the only meal they get. But through that, they're bringing the gospel, and their families are coming to the Lord. You know, again, it's kind of, especially because I knew some of these folks when they were students, and to see what God has done in their lives and how God is using them, it's just, it really blows my mind when I think about how awesome it is and what, I mean, just the weight of what they're doing is so eternal, and it's having such incredible, it's really touching a nation in a very, very supernatural way, so.
Amazing to see. And then our school in Africa, one of our grads,
yes.
Full-time school in Cameroon and also a part-time school in another part of Cameroon.
Yes.
So they're now sending out grads from their school into other parts of Africa.
Yeah, and then Rotterdam, Holland in the Netherlands, one of our grads. I mean, it's just...
That's our oldest school.
Yeah, that's right. So it's, I mean, let me say this. I really feel like there's some people that need to hear this. You know, you've actually really contemplated ministry and it's burning your heart. But you feel like you've been trapped in a certain type of life. And this is for many people listening, I believe. Listen, step out. If God is burning in your heart, step out. It was impossible in the natural for me to come to the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Again, I didn't have a savings, three daughters, a wife, but God made a way. So step out and watch what God will do.
You're 28 years old. Keith, you'd been pastoring, married, three little kids, $3. Came to school, God met his needs, and now he's the director of our school of ministry and helping lead our schools around the world. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm sitting in studio with my dear friend and colleague, Keith Collins. We've known Keith and his family since 1996. They've been part of our ministry ever since then. He's the director of Fire School of Ministry. I serve as the president of Fire School of Ministry. We each teach regularly in the school, and Keith is actively working with our school plants around the world. And Keith, this past Sunday marked 6 years. I remember I was going to be preaching at Fire Church on a Sunday morning. And I got up, and there was a series of emails back and forth about one of our spiritual sons, a grad from our ministry school, 29 years old, married with two kids. We can't mention the country for a number of reasons,
right.
But he was serving there with he and his wife and three other couples, so four couples total, serving in a very dangerous part of the Muslim world. And he had made it clear, we're willing to give our lives for these people. And they did. They were so effective winning people to the Lord, just serving the poor, teaching English, teaching vocational training, and then just on a personal level sharing the gospel. And he was assassinated by Al-Qaeda terrorists. I remember meeting with his wife afterwards and asking her, do you have any regrets? And she looked at me with a smile, no regrets. It was extraordinary to see. And then the team, the other three couples, ended up going back to the Middle East. They continue to serve there. And we have seen... Ever since then, even though we didn't talk about it a lot, because we can't talk about it a lot publicly, we can't give details for quite a number of obvious reasons, especially with laborers there. But ever since then, we've had an increase in laborers going to the Middle East, and maybe our fastest growing team is in Kurdistan.
Yeah.
in northern Iraq, and they started to work there right before the Syrian refugee crisis. So suddenly overnight, there's a massive camp of refugees in their backyard to minister to. But we've got several couples there. We've got the Mesopotamia House of Prayer. We've got disciples being made. We've got singles there. Do you feel a special calling for our School of Ministry to raise up and send out laborers into the Muslim world?
Most definitely. You know, I'll never forget that morning that you talked about. I was in York, Pennsylvania. I was literally going to the pulpit and got a text from Josh Peters.
Our director of missions.
Yes, yeah. And was notified about, you know, our students' martyrdom. And I remember being so gripped in the pulpit that morning. I mean, I preached through tears.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in those seasons that eternity becomes so real to me. But I really feel like God has put a special commission upon us to reach the Muslim world. I've been preaching in Sierra Leone, Africa, for the last 3.5 years now. And I've done several crusade meetings to Muslim people. And by the grace of God, it's the Holy Spirit, we've seen hundreds come to the Lord. I mean, radical conversions. But I really feel like, even with our connections around the world, that, listen, if God has put this on your heart, and maybe he's not, but maybe you'll feel that when you get here, that, you know, we want to be able to equip you to know how to communicate with Muslims, to know who they are, why they believe what they believe, understanding the differences between the different types of Muslims that are out there. But we really feel like it's a calling from God to reach the Muslim world. And that's going to be a thing that we do with excellence by the help of the Holy Spirit. But I believe it's very important. And God's, like you said, God stirs people when they get here. I mean, some of our most quality students that I've ever taught are now serving in Kurdistan, different parts of the world.
Yeah, it's extraordinary to see. And I'm just thinking now of one of our missionaries serving in Nigeria, Joanne. When I met Joanne, she was an Orthodox Jewish woman and was so impacted by a debate I did with Rabbi Tovia Singer. It ended up being a major part of changing her life. She's been a solid follower of Jesus Yeshua all these decades. And when her mom passed away, she sold everything she had. She left her career as an educator. And she's probably in her 50s, went to serve the poorest of the poor in Nigeria. I'm talking about where she just sent pictures. She's tears of rejoicing. They were able to dig wells, and they have running water, so you can actually go and fill bottles with water at a common tap rather than having to go walk over to a well somewhere. And on a regular basis, she'll tell me about, you know, another body was found, the, you know, kid was kidnapped, and then bodily parts removed for some kind of witchcraft procedure, and just, you know, crazy stuff. Mother's still dying in childbirth, you know, venomous snakes right outside where she is. And she's serving the poorest of the poor. And these kids now are getting educated. And they have Muslim kids coming to the school, and some of the Muslim moms met with Joanne. She's not far from Boko Haram and these others.
Right.
And they said, look, you're talking about Jesus in the school, and we don't like that. And she said, this is the best school they can come to. And if you don't like that, send them to another school, send them to one of the local Muslim schools. But they're sent in there because they love the quality of the training and what they're getting. And she's open about Jesus. And she sent me a note the other day. She said, send me some young ladies with grit. Send me some workers with grit. We have an open door in the harvest around the world. We've got to send out more laborers.
Yes.
We have missionaries serving around the world. We have workers in America. Send more laborers. So, friends, what we've done, I just want to share this with you again, if you haven't heard yet. We've changed our three-year program into an intensive nine-month leadership institute. You will get heavily immersed. You'll sit under Keith Collins. You'll sit under me. You'll sit under key guest speakers that will supernaturally equip you. I say supernatural, you'll be grounded in the word, grounded in practical ministry, but we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We will pour it into you. And then immediately in the second year, so we've done this to help those that are a little older, help those that don't have 4 years or 6 years to be in college or grad school or seminary, to get equipped to do practical ministry, to pastor, to lead, to be a missionary, to be a worship leader, the various callings that are out there, all right? To stand for cultural apologetics, the various Jewish evangelism, all right? Here we are. That's the specialty in my life. Okay, after the nine-month intensive Leadership Institute training here, you then go out in the second year for an intensive internship that could be serving with powerful evangelists in Nigeria, okay? That could be working with our team in Kurdistan. That could be being part of a house of prayer here in the States. That could be sitting under me and learning cultural apologetics. That could be traveling out with Keith Collins. You will be equipped during your internship and then take ongoing classes either online or in person if you're interning locally. So then after 2 years, you'll have already had 9 months of internship. You're ready to step right out, and you'll be doing active ministry in different ways during those 9 months of interning. So we have revamped the program. Go to fire-school.org, fire-school.org to find out more for yourself, for a family member. Yes, you can come straight out of high school, but you've got to be called to leadership. Yes, you can come if you've got 3 PhDs, as one of our students did years ago. Yes, you can come if you're in your 70s, as one of our grads did, and he's still going strong in his 90s. You need to be called to leadership and ministry. Hey, Keith, just take a couple of minutes and speak what's on your heart to those listening, to those watching.
Yeah, I want to ask this question. You know, what does your heart really burn for? What matters in your life? When you come to the end of your time on this earth, and you look back, whether that's 100 years almost, like Billy Graham recently, or 60 years or 7, whatever, when you look back, can you say that I fulfilled the call of God? What I did was an investment in eternity. My life glorified Jesus. Listen, I'll be 50 in a few months, and if the Lord gives me 30, 40 more years by the grace of God, that's great. But I don't want to waste a day. I don't want to waste a week. Listen, if God is stirring your heart, take that step of faith. God is with you. If he's stirring you, then he's calling you to do something different. Dr. Brown preached recently, if we keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, it'll never happen. Some of you are burning with the call of God, but you are maybe intimidated to step out. Listen, if you step out, God will meet you. So listen, let your heart come alive with the eternal purposes of the Lord. Come and be with us if the Lord is leading you. Get equipped, get trained, and do the works of Jesus in your generation, because at the end of your life, that's really all that's going to matter. So may the Lord stir you in a very radical way today as he becomes real in your heart.
You know, I think of the words of C.T. Studd. I wrote an article over this that was published over the weekend called Are You Living in Light of Eternity? C.T. Studd was born to a rich family in England. He was a champion cricket player when he was at Cambridge, and became a follower of Jesus, but was not really burning bright on fire. He read a tract by an atheist, and this atheist basically said, if what Christians preach was true, if the Bible was true, then this would be my all-consuming thought. And the thought of heaven and hell and rescuing people from eternity without God would consume me. And that was one reason this atheist didn't believe that the Bible was true, because he looked at the way people lived that claimed to believe it. And C.T. Studd realized, okay, his life was not consistent. And he ended up leaving the riches that he had in his family and the career he could have had as a sportsman and aristocrat in England. He went to China, then to India, and then spent his life as a missionary in Africa. And he wrote a little poem, the famous lines, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." So I ask you again, are you living in the light of eternity? Is your life consistent with what you believe? If God is calling you out into ministry, if he's calling you to step out, be trained and equipped, our new program, Fire Leadership Institute at Fire School of Ministry, could be the very thing you're praying for. And remember, it has the distinctives of who we are. We are absolutely serious about grounding you in the Word. We're absolutely serious about grounding you in intimacy with God. We're absolutely serious about grounding you in practical ministry. We're absolutely serious about grounding you in the power of the Spirit. And then the three tracks, one that focuses on evangelism or missions, one that focuses on pastoral ministry or teaching, one that focuses on worship or intercession. Those are the three tracks in which you can intern in that second year after spending 9 months with us, the 9-month internship. Go to fire-school.org. Apply today. Next semester is coming in August. That's not far from now. fire-school.org. Look forward to seeing you here so we can help train you and send you out to be a world changer. Back with you, friends, for Thirdly Jewish Thursday tomorrow.